Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patricia Leigh Dorsey, that's my real name, but the name that I'm known by around town is Grandma Techno. And what I do is, as Grandma Techno, is I just go to the Movement Detroit Electronic Music Festival every year. This will be my 15th year in a row. I'm almost 77 years old, so I'm kind of a little on the elder side of most of the people who participate, but I love it. And I'm a photographer, so I always take photos, and I have a photo book coming out with the pictures from 2007 to 2018. That's going to be coming out in July. So, you know, that's it in a nutshell.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you, I mean, how did, you know, I mean, as you said, you're a little bit seasoned, probably remember yeah. when the Beatles started in that. And
I remember, yeah. I remember when Elvis Presley started.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, when Elvis started to techno, I mean, is it that big of a jump?
Well, it wasn't really, I mean, I guess it wasn't really techno, but they were using some, certainly, amplification that was different. I was 12 at the time, and, that was pretty much a different kind of modality, although what it had that I loved was it had the beat, and it was great to dance to, which I've been loving to do ever since I was a kid. So although I'm disabled now, I've been disabled with MS, oh God, for 30 years, but I can scooter dance now. I've been in a scooter for like the last 19 years, but I, the beat is the beat, and I'll always be a dancer, whether I'm up on my feet doing it or sitting in my scooter doing it.
That was the thing I was going to ask is, you know, when did you become acquainted with the festival and going there, and what was it that attracted you to it?
Well, you know, I've always gone to every music festival that I can find in Detroit. I love music and just love the energy of our festivals, love Heart Plaza especially. So I had been to just about every festival I could find, but I hadn't yet been to the Electronic Music Festival, and this was 2005. So a friend of mine, Pat Colin, who lives in Detroit, we decided that we wanted to try it. So 2005, we're at that time I was in my 60s, and she was too. But we went into Heart Plaza, and well, the sound was like unreal. We looked at each other and said, I don't know if we can do this because it was so loud. I mean, it didn't matter. You didn't have to be at a stage. I mean, the sound was unreal. So we went across the street to the Marriott Hotel and hoped that they would have earplugs in their gift shop, which they did. So we put in earplugs and went back, and both of us just fell in love with it. I mean, as I say, I love the beat. I love to dance. The beat was phenomenal. And so I just went one day that first year. I think I went on the last day, on Memorial Day. And I don't know, I just started going, and I never stopped. I mean, and it's more than just the music. I love the kids. I love the energy. The energy of electronic music fans is, although I wasn't really there at the time, I was kind of doing my young married woman thing. But in the 60s, it reminds me of the 60s because it's really about peace and love and unity and being together. And in my 14 years there, I've never even seen an argument, much less a fight. And, you know, this is like 100,000 people. So I think it's pretty amazing.
So how did you go from being a fan to going, I'm going to start taking photos, and then the book?
Okay. Let's see. In 2005, when I started going, I was keeping a blog. I had started keeping a blog in the year 2000, before there was even the word blog. But I had a little point-and-shoot camera just to put in my blog with my text. So 2005, I had no point-and-shoot, and I took a few pictures, nothing to write home about. And 2006, same thing. That was May. But in July of 2006, I've been an artist. I have to kind of give you a little background. I had gotten a master's in social work, but then working with kids at the old receiving hospital, my husband, I'd bring home my little magic marker drawings, and he said, you know, saw some talent. So I started taking classes and then went back to school, went to what was then the Center for Creative Studies, which is now the College of Creative Studies. And so I was in the art world, and I'd been an artist for like 30 years before I decided I really wanted to get serious about photography. I had the eye, and I'd been to art school, so I could, you know, compose and all that. But I didn't know diddly squat about fundamentals of photography. So I took a few classes, and I just fell in love with it. So the next year, which was 2007, was when I brought my good camera, and just, I always carry my camera with me. And so every place I go, especially in Detroit, but any place, I always have my camera and I'm always taking pictures. I didn't think about a book. You know, I just was doing my thing, taking my pictures all these years. But I did begin to have dreams of a book after, oh God, I think in about 2015, I started thinking. And I did a little self-published mock-up book, and I liked it. And but nothing really happened with it. I did have an exhibit of some photos at the Heidelberg Project, their exposure gallery, in 2015, I think. But Jesse Corey of One Times Run, I've known him because of Murals in the Market. Of course, I always take pictures there. And we were talking at the festival, at the Electronic Music Festival last May. And Jesse said something about, he said, you know, I want to publish a book of your photos. And he said, what project, because I have a lot of projects. He said, what project would you like to have a book of? And I said, well, no question about it. I want the Electronic Music Festival. And I called them, I've been calling them this name for a long time. I call them, they call me Grandma Techno. Because the photos are not about me. They're about the kids who call me Grandma Techno. And Jesse said, great, okay, we're going to do it. So he got together with the Paxahall folks, who are the producers of Movement Detroit. They said, we want to work with you on this. And so they did, and the Detroit Techno Foundation. And so we have a whole team that's been working on this now since, I think, since October. And we've just gone to the printer. The book will be available in July. So,
I mean, it's got to be just great to go through that and think about the various stories and various people that you've met over the years. Are there any that really stick out, any performances or photos that, you know, really, I know it's hard to pick one. It's like picking your favorite kid or something.
No, it isn't, actually. I have several series, because when I see something going on that I love, then I'll just sit there and I'll just take picture after picture. And really and truly, my favorite picture and my favorite moments of any of the times that I've been there, it was in 2012. And I was looking at different, I'm always looking at the people who are reacting. I don't do much about taking pictures of the DJs. It's really the people, the crowd. And there was this little girl who was maybe about 4, and she was with her family. Well, that kid was getting down something fierce. It was amazing. And her older sister, who might have been 6, was sitting there looking terribly bored. She was way too sophisticated for all this. And then her little brother, who was 2, was just up on his daddy's shoulders. But this little girl was dancing up a storm. So I started taking her picture. I think I probably have I bet I have about 75 or 80 pictures of her. And what then happened was a large, wonderful dancer, anyone was older than she was, but, you know, a fellow who maybe was in his 20s or 30s, I don't know, came up and started dancing next to her. And she was ignoring him first. And then he kind of started grinning at her and sort of getting in her space. And she started grinning at him. And then he kind of said, let's go into the center of the circle, which they did. And that whole thing, I mean, the thing that was so fabulous was his nickname ended up being Bird. And he's a teacher, an African-American fellow teacher in Detroit. She was a little white girl from the suburbs. But I don't know, something magical happened with that whole encounter. So I was so happy to get that. And that really, the picture that I have in the book, I have four pictures of them, kind of the process. And I love it.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting the book and checking it out.
Thank you.
I actually gave to the Kickstarter. Were you kind of amazed at the outpouring of support when that went up?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. You know what I loved about it was I have another photo book that was published in 2013. We were able to do it because we had a few really big donors, that people I didn't even necessarily know, but who gave big amounts of money. We didn't have any big donors this time. I mean, people were, you know, maybe putting in $35, maybe putting in $50, $55. I think the most anybody donated was $250, and maybe we had two people doing that. What I loved is that the kids were doing it. It was all the kids, and what I can't wait to see is, I don't know if I'll hear from them when they see the book and see their pictures in it, because they don't know. I mean, nobody knows if they're going to be in the book or not. So I really look forward to hearing from them.
Is, you know, I had just have to ask, are there any particular people you're looking forward to hearing or seeing this festival coming up?
Oh, you know, that is so impossible. Because I love always, I have never seen a lineup that I didn't love. And especially I love seeing the people that I haven't ever seen before. For instance, last year I saw Tsujiki. I'd never even heard of Tsujiki, but I got me going down big time. I always adore Claude Von Stroke. And, you know, I love that he is going to be performing with the duo of the two of them. And they performed, I think, 3 years ago. It was phenomenal. But, you know, I mean, of course, Richie Houghton, yeah, come on. You know, but I like just kind of wandering around and being drawn by the sound of someone that I maybe don't know. And I do also love the underground. I love what Resident Advisor has done with the underground stage. It's just always amazing. Now, that's where I still need my earplugs, big time. But, yeah.
You know,
I mean, I just look forward to the whole event.
I was going to ask if there's a place or a certain, you know, if you were going to advise a friend of yours who's not hip to this, where should they start? What should they listen to really, you know, set them on the path?
You know, I think I'd go to the main stage. I think it is generally very, very open. And you know, if you go down to Resident Advisor, the sound is incredible, but you really do need your earphones there, your earplugs. That, you know, I think probably I would put them at the main stage to start.
I mean, if they're trying to, I guess, maybe study up before they go, are there certain acts that they should pull up online and listen to?
Well, you know, they can do that, actually. They can do that with the website that Movement puts up. You know, there'll be links, and they can listen to these folks and see how it sounds to them. I mean, we all have kind of, there's so many different kinds of electronic music. At first, I knew nothing. My first year, I was going out, and they were doing a survey of, do you like house or do you like techno? Well, I didn't know what house was. I didn't know what techno was. And so I didn't know from anything on that. But now, I mean, I have kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, I have sort of my own kind of sounds. I would say that probably my favorite is deep house, I would say. You know, I love Grandma Techno, Stacy Hale, who does just amazing work. She's a Detroiter. And DJ Minxt, she's going to be performing. Again, I love a lot of our local folks.
Sounds great. I was just going to ask, is there anything else you want to add before I let you go?
You know, just for anybody, just don't be afraid to go. I want to say that because, I mean, I started going it when I was in my 60s. I'm disabled, you know, so I don't fit the norm. But don't get spooked when you go in there and it looks like everybody's young and everybody's hip and all of that. Don't get at all spooked by that. Just try it. You know, just try a day and see if it takes. And it, you might be surprised. Once people started realizing that this little old lady was going to this festival, like, you know, with newspaper things or whatever, I'm seeing more older people coming, and I'm seeing more young people bringing their parents and their grandparents, and I love that. So I'm saying whatever and whoever you are, give it a try. You never know.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and best to you, and I hope you enjoy the festival.
Oh, I will. Will I see you there?
I'm hoping.
Okay, well, if you see me, just please come up and give me a hug. Got to get a Grandma Techno hug and a selfie.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.